So I let her take me home, but all the way home, I was just so ashamed. I was so afraid of what was going to be at home, you know. And I thought she's going to go in and talk to my mother, and my mother's going to be drunk. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I didn't want her to see my mother like that. I was so ashamed, you know.
Steigutay, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear from a gal who grew up in an alcoholic home, how that affected her as a child, and then later in life.
My name is Adrienne Kinney. I'm a member of the Cheyenne and Arapaho tribe, and I'm originally from Clinton, Oklahoma, and I now live in Shawnee, Oklahoma. And my husband is Woodrow Kinney. He is a member of the Creek and Seminole tribe. We have some part French background in our family. And I have three children that are all grown. I guess my story starts when I was growing up, you know. There's seven children in my family, and had my mother and my father, and there was a lot of alcohol in our family, uncles and, you know, so forth, cousins, and there's a lot of alcohol. My father left, and my mother didn't drink until he left, you know, and then she started drinking. It's like that was her escape, you know, from raising children by herself, you know. And my dad, he did change, and he did take the two older children. The three of us that were in the middle, I was about in the fourth grade, I would say, and we got sent off to boarding school, Indian boarding school. And the two younger ones my mother kept, and by this time she had remarried, and she kept the two younger ones, and my dad kept the two older ones, and the three in the middle, we went to boarding schools. And so I guess I grew up with a lot of anger and bitterness towards, I guess mainly towards my dad, you know, for leaving us. I feel like he abandoned us. And but I was also angry at my mother also, you know. I just carried this bitterness inside of me. And as a child, she left us alone when she was out drinking, and I was molested twice, you know, by two different people, because we were always left alone. And one was an uncle that I trusted, you know, that I couldn't understand, you know. But he came to the house, and he had been drinking, you know. And I never told my mother, because I didn't think it would do any good. I thought, even if I told her, you know, she's not going to protect me. You know, she's still going to drink, and she's still going to leave us, because she left us all the time, you know, every day she was drinking. And I remember one time during Christmas, my dad, he lived in Texas, and this one Christmas, he would always send us, you know, a box of presents for us. And this one year, he didn't send us anything. I don't know why. And my mother, she was feeling so bad and everything that it was Christmas Eve. I tried to tell her, you know, that I was glad that she was staying home with us, because she left all the time. But she didn't stay home. You know, she was feeling bad because we didn't have anything for Christmas, and she left. And so I told my brothers and my sisters, I said, okay, there was four that were younger than me, and I was in charge. And I said, okay, let's go. We're going to church. And I said, we may not have anything for Christmas, but I know if we go to church, they'll give us a bag of candy, you know. So we got ready, and the church bus came by and picked us up, and we went to church. And we did. We got candy, you know, sacks, but I could still see us. Just, I thought we must have really looked like a pitiful sight, you know, just five little children. I was the oldest, and I was probably about seven, maybe eight. And my youngest brother, he was probably 18 months old, and they all behaved, you know. They didn't act up or do anything, you know. We all went to church, and we all walked in there and we sat on the bench and we all sat together. And they just sat and stared at the other people and watched everybody get all their presents. They gave out all these presents, you know, and I thought, surely somebody saw us. Somebody must have felt sorry for us, you know, but nobody gave us anything. And that was all right, because I just wanted them to have some candy or something. And so we did. We left, and I wrote this poem. I'm going to try to read it to you. Yeah, I wrote it several years ago, but it goes something like this. See the funny little children. Where did they come from? No one knows. How did they find this church? On a bus they came. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little children sitting in a row. Their hair's all messy and their clothes are a sight. Did you ever see such big eyes? And not a word they say. It's a birthday party, but not a gift they have. They have no shame as they stand and sing each song. The party's over, still not a word they say as they march out the door. What were their names? We'll never know. Only Jesus remembers those funny little children. For you see, it was his birthday they came to see. That happened when I was younger, before we went off to boarding school. But I always remembered that. I went to school, finished school, and I started running around, and I didn't realize I was living the same life that my parents were. My husband and I, we were married, and we had 2 children, and we were running around. We had friends, and we'd go bowling, and we'd have parties, and we'd have different things, and I thought I was doing so much better. I thought I was such a better parent than my parents. You know, I thought, I don't leave my children by themselves. I mean, my husband and I, we would go out, you know, with some of our friends, but I just thought I was so much better than my parents, and that I always took care of my children. They had a home, and I was always there for them, except on weekends when we would go out, and I always had a babysitter and everything. But somewhere along the line, I realized that I wasn't any better than my parents. You know, you're either saved or you're not saved. And my parents, when they were running around, they weren't saved. You know what? They didn't take care of us. And my dad did get saved, and he did become a Christian, and he did turn out to be a really good father. You know, I had a stepmother that I really loved. Our life was a lot better as we got older, but when we were young, it's when our life was bad. I was probably about 38 years old, and my youngest daughter was 5 years old, and my other daughter was 10, and my son was 13. We would go to churches. My husband and I, we'd visit different churches, and I would always find something wrong with the church, and I would tell him I didn't like that pastor, and I didn't like something about somebody embarrassed me. I always found something wrong with the church, so we'd leave, and my husband was a Christian, but I guess he really loved me a lot. He didn't know how to deal with me, you know, and so we would keep going to different churches, you know, and my children would, sometime I'd send them to church and they'd ride a church bus, you know, and as I kept making excuses, we came to Glorieta, this where we are now, and my husband told me, he said, you keep finding excuses and you keep making us change churches. He said, we're not changing. He said, we're staying here. And the kids are going to church here. He said, and if you don't want to go, he said, then you can stay home. He said, but we're going to church. And he said, you're coming into conviction. That's why you find things wrong and you want to leave. And he said, we're not leaving anymore. He said, this is the last time. So he took the kids and he went to church, and they left me at home. And so I started thinking about it, and I thought, he's right, you know. And I cried and I cried, and I thought, why am I doing this? I thought, what is it that's keeping me from, you know, I want to go to church. I want to be like those families there, and I want to be a good mother. Because I knew a lot of the people here. I guess I admired them. They always seem so clean and so They all seem so happy and everything, and I wanted to be like that, but I didn't think that I could. And so I thought about it, and I thought, he's right, you know. This is where we belong. There's other Indian families here, and our children have a lot of friends there, and I didn't know why, that I felt like there was just a big wall that was stopping me, and so after I cried, I thought about it, and during that time, also, my sister and I, we were started going to this class, and it was, the name of it was Adult Children of Alcoholic Parents, and it told about how the things that we, how our lives are when we're adults, and why we are the way we are, you know, and because we came from alcoholic families, we have a hard time trusting, and we're still living the same life that we were living when we were. It's like I was afraid for people to know how I lived at home, because I remember when my mother was drinking, and I was ashamed, and I didn't want people coming to my house. I didn't want my friends coming to the house, and because I didn't know if she was going to be drinking or not, you know. I remember I got sick at school, and I threw up. And I was feeling really sick, and I didn't want to tell my teacher. And one of my friends told the teacher, and I was sitting there with my head down. And she came to me, and she asked me, you know, what was wrong? And I just told her I didn't feel good. And she said, well, come on, I'll take you home. And so I let her take me home, but all the way home, I was just so ashamed. I was so afraid of what was going to be at home, you know. And I thought, she's going to go in and talk to my mother, and my mother's going to be drunk. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I didn't want her to see my mother like that. I was so ashamed, you know. And so the teacher got there to the house, and as soon as she got there, I jumped off the car, and I tried to ready it so she wouldn't, you know. But she didn't. She got off the car, and she went in, and my mother, she wasn't drunk that time, you know. So she told my mother that I got sick, and that she had to bring me home. And so that was all right, you know. But you live in fear, you know.
Well, we've run out of time, so we'll pick up where Adrian left off next time. You know, there are a lot of people who can relate to the pain and shame of growing up with alcohol. Maybe you're one of them, but I want to encourage you that just like Adrian, your story isn't over yet either. And just like you'll hear next time, there really is lasting hope and healing in Jesus Christ. Have you come to Him? Have you put your trust in the one God sent to die for your sin and shame, so that you could live and walk with Him in newness of life? Listen to Jesus' words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. My friend, are you saved? If you would like to know more, please visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. If you're on Facebook, you can connect with us at Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there's more to Adrian's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.